For those of you who came late, I'm going to repeat my announcement of soup on March 19th at 6 p.m. So if you want to come, bring soup. Okay?
Yeah, I have a sheet that we could sign up and have it organized.
Soup sheet. It's the SS sheet. We're limited to 5 soups, okay? We're raised up our number. All right. Last time we were together, I shared on something I entitled, Remember Who You Are. And I gave you some of the scriptures with regards to God's exhortation. Proverbs taught us, don't forget my teaching, but keep it in your heart. Deuteronomy exhorted us to take heed to ourselves and to teach our children, lest our eyes should forget the things we have seen and they would depart from our hearts. Hebrews taught us that we ought to turn our minds more attentively to the things that we have been taught so that we do not drift away from them. Then there was a great verse in Romans where it said, the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one towards another according to Jesus Christ. According to Jesus Christ. And that was the standard. Our like-mindedness was to be according to Jesus Christ. And then we looked in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33 in depth. And we looked at each word in that verse, and I showed you from the great accuracy of the word that the word communications there was the word homilia, from which we get our word homily, which is one of the words for sermon, the art of expounding, and that if you listen to an evil sermon or a sermon that is inaccurate off the word, it's going to corrupt you because that's what the word of God declares. And if we, if you want to buck that or argue with it, then doctor used to teach us you can always argue with God, but it's like running your head against a brick wall. You're going to lose. And then I alluded to a pseudo love, a false love that has infected Christianity, and how this love was a deception from the devil, and how this love pulls the word of God out of people and replaces it with feelings and with ushy and gooey things. And, I want to share with you today on the subject of the love of God. Because if there is a counterfeit love that the devil uses and it's rampant in Christianity, we should be able to understand what the genuine love of God is. Now, if we're going to call something love, and we're going to call it the love of God, then we first have to agree to allow God to define what His love is. Doesn't matter what I think it is or what it should be. Doesn't matter how I feel. Doesn't matter what I've been taught. What matters and what only matters is what God says His love is. Because you're going to meet a lot of people, a lot of Christians, a lot of non-Christians, a lot of nice people, a lot of people who manifest phileo love and call it godly love. And they're going to say, this is godly love. This is what the love of God is. Now, if what they're saying the love of God is true, then you will be able to go to the Word and substantiate that truth. I ministered to a girl one time who told me that because the Word said to honor her mother and her father, and she loved God and she wanted to do what the Word said, she allowed her father to rape her for the good majority of her life. Now, somewhere along the line, her brain got scrambled. And she used that verse, honor your mother and father, to justify in her mind that it was her loving obedience to God to fulfill that verse to allow her daddy to rape her for probably some 20 years of her life. Now, that may seem weird to you, okay, but it's true. Because this is what pseudo-love does. This is what devilish love does. Devilish love gives license to the flesh. That's what it does. So let's look at God's Word and let God define what His love is. Let's go to the Gospel of John chapter 14. Minister to many women who said because they loved the man of God, they wanted to bless the man of God, so they slept with the man of God. Let me back up. I ministered to many married women, okay, that weren't married to the, quote, man of God, who told me because they loved the man of God and they wanted to bless the man of God, they slept with the man of God. I can't get me a damn cookie sometimes. I'm doing something wrong. Right? Damn. I'm still working on it. I had to read their secrets. Get you all to make cheeseburgers or something. John chapter 14, verse 21. He that hath my commandments, he it is that loveth me. Did I read that right?
No.
I'm sorry. Let me do it again. He that hath my commandments and what?
Keepeth them.
He it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and we will manifest myself. And will manifest myself to him. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, another Judas, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my what?
Words.
And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and we will make our abode with him. Verse 24. Just so there's no mistake about it. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. In other words, he that loveth me not keeps not whose word? God's word. God's word. So we see here that out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he's defining what type of love that God has and what the love of God is and what the love of God is practically. And that boils down to this. If you have the commandments and you keep them, then you love him. And he turns around and he says the opposite, which is a figure just to establish the truth. If you love me not, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. So if you have the Word of God and you love God, that's good enough, right? It's not what it says. It says if you have the Word of God and you keep it, in other words, you do it, you apply the Word of God, then it is he that loveth me. That's what Jesus said. I didn't say that. Jesus said it. Very simply, look at verse 15. Save you the trouble. Let's read it together. John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my what? There it is. See, love is an action word. But it's an action word according to God's doctrine. See, because it's God's doctrine that defines God's love. If you love me, keep my commandments. Look at Psalm 119. I've read several different translations of this verse. I chose the New Living to represent it here to you. In Psalm 119, beginning in verse 4, the New Living reads about God, "You have charged us," Psalm 119:4, "You have charged us to keep your commandments carefully." Verse 5, "Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your principles. Then I will not be disgraced when I compare my life with your commands." There's the word. God's charged us to keep his commandments. The psalmist says, "Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your principles." In other words, "Oh, that I would do your word." And the reason why I would want my life to line up with your word is that I won't be disgraced when I compare my life with your commands. In other words, with what I'm doing in my life, when I compare that with what your word says, you're either going to stand approved or disapproved with regards to that particular area of life. Now, you're approved in God because of Christ. You understand? But in the renewed mind walk and in your actions and your practical application of the word, the psalmist says, "When my actions reflect your principles, I will not be disgraced when I compare my life with your commands." You see, the word is a standard. And when you look at your life and you look at the word and you compare the two, you're either going to be on the ball or you're going to be off the ball. There's no in between. You're either on or you're off. Look at 1 John chapter 2. And the psalmist was concerned about that. He wanted to do what was right according in the eyes of God. Especially when there's 100 different definitions of what love is. You know, I was at a rally with some of you guys about a year ago or so. Homosexual group was trying to get some laws passed, and we were up in Harrisburg on the state capitol steps. And I heard the other group who was funneled across the street, which were pro-homosexual activists, this is what they said: "You're not loving. Your God isn't loving." See? And the reason why they said that I wasn't loving and that the group that was there to represent God's word wasn't loving was because we didn't accept their lifestyle. And it didn't mean we didn't love the people, just that we didn't accept their lifestyle, so they called us haters, they called us not loving. So anybody can say anything about love that they want. If you don't agree with me, I can say to you, you're not loving. Or if you don't let me be a homo, I can say to you, that's not being very loving. And I can even go to scriptures and show where David and Jonathan were homosexuals by twisting the word a little bit. And I can go to scriptures and show where Jesus only had male disciples because he was a homosexual. And there is a teaching that teaches that out there in Christian churches, in the homosexual groups. And if I say something about that, I'm not loving. See, so there's so many different definitions of love, 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 love. If we're going to do the word of God, we got to let God say what love is, what his love is, because that's what we're concerned about. In 1 John chapter 2, 1 John 2, look at verse 1. "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not." So what he's writing now, he's writing with the purpose and intention to keep us out of what? So if we do the opposite of what he's writing, we're going to fall into what? Okay. "And if any man sin, don't worry about it, because we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous," because everybody blows it. So if you do make a mistake, don't worry. It's not the end of the world. Just get yourself back on the ball. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. This is how we know that we know him, by keeping his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, if I was to say that about a minister, there'd be some of you in this congregation be real quick to point your finger at me and say, oh, that's not very loving. Right? But here, God turns around, says it in his word, and nobody thinks them different. He that says, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. I have a word from the Lord this morning for you. The Lord, God Almighty, God the Holy Spirit, and God Jesus Christ of the Holy Blessed Trinity, has spoken unto me this morning from heaven, and your Aunt Isabel, who is there as the secretary in heaven, told me personally that the Lord wants such and such. You should look at me weird, because that's a weird thing, Miss Trinami. She's 96 years old, and she knows that that's stupid. Look, Bible says, he that says, I know him, and keep his not command and keep not his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in him. You see, whoso keeps his word, in him the love of God is perfected. The love of God is perfected. See, it's, the love of God is based on the word of God. Not what men say, because men are liars, and the truth doesn't abide in men, and myself included. You understand? The love of God is based on what the word of God says it is. And if you keep his word, then the love of God comes to fruition, completeness in your life. It says, but whosoever keepeth his word, verse 5. That is put together grammatically in the present active subjunctive. And literally it translates, whosoever keeps on keeping his word. In other words, it's not you do it once, and then the love of God's going to get perfected in you. It's a keep on keeping of the word. In other words, it's a continual doing of the word of God that will perfect this love of God in your life. You understand? Let me show you the same construction in John chapter 15. Same thing, present active subjunction, subjunctive. John 15, verse 14. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. See the words, if you do? It's constructed the same way. It's the present active subjunctive. It means you are my friends if you keep on doing. If you keep on doing. It's not just I'm going to do one thing, Jesus, at church, and then the rest of my life I'm not going to. No. You keep on doing. And it's interesting because Jesus here, we see, defines what love is according to the scriptures. He also defines what a friend is according to the scripture. And Jesus said, a true friend is someone who continually walks on the word of God. See, because those types of friends will be friends that iron sharpeneth iron. Now, if you're calling someone a friend who's not walking on the word of God, they're not a biblical friend. They may be a worldly friend, but they're not a biblical friend. Look at John chapter 15, look at verse 9. John 15:9. As the Father hath loved me, so hath I loved you. Continue ye in my love. As God has loved me and showed me what love is, I have then expressed and shared this love with you. Now, because God has showed me and has loved me with this love that he has, and because I have expressed and taught you what this love is, I want you to continue in my love. Continue in this love that I have showed you. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. See the word if? Sometimes it sets a conditional clause, sometimes it doesn't. You want to know something? It sets a conditional clause here in this verse. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and by me keeping my Father's commandments, I was able to abide in his love. Now, is that simple? There it is. You can say you love, you can ooey-gooey it all you want. It doesn't matter what's coming out of your mouth. Jesus Christ said, if you want to abide in my love, you got to what? Keep my commandments. If you're not keeping the commandments, I don't know what you're doing, and I don't know what you're calling it, but you can call it any kind of love you want. You can even call it God's love. You can call it Jehovah love. You can call it Elohim love. You can call it whatever you want to call it, Yahweh love, but it's not God's love. You are a liar, and the truth is not in you. Now, you get mad at me for saying that. You go get mad at God for saying that because he said it in 1 John. But this is the kind of love that Christians speak, and it's this kind of love that gets people praying to their dead aunt in heaven. It's this kind of love that puts the homosexual preacher behind a lectern. It gets this kind of love that gets the lesbian minister who's going to marry your daughter and son or your son and daughter. And they're going to stand there before this minister because it's this kind of love that the devil wants to pawn off on the church, so the church feels condemned, so the church feels intimidated, and then the church doesn't say anything, and the church accepts anything with the word love attached to it. Okay? There's a lot of scriptures in the Word that warn us about false doctrine, false apostles, false teachers, doctrines of devil. Why is that there? It wouldn't be there if this stuff isn't rampant. It was rampant in his time. It's rampant in this time. And the only way you know that it's not false is that you got to know the Word. You have to know the Word. It's not about liking me or like how I teach or like how I talk. It's about knowing the Word of God. And taking the personality and throwing it out the window, and is it the Word or is it not the Word? Because if you want an ooey-gooey homosexual minister that will not offend anybody, I can give you half a dozen churches right around the corner that I can give you one. And they're sweet, and they articulate better than me, and they speak better, and they have a bigger vocabulary. But they're living in sin, and they're teaching their congregation how to sin and disrespect God's Word. Jesus got them so upset that they couldn't stomach him to the point where they killed him. That was their answer. If you keep my commandments, verse 10, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love. Verse 11, these things I have spoken unto you, that your joy might remain in you. You ever have a problem losing your joy? You think you're walking in the love of God? You think you understand love? Pseudo love, false love will suck your joy out of you. You want your joy to remain? Make sure that your love is accurate on the scripture. I've spoken these things to you that your joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. John 15:11. Look at verse 12. This is my commandment. You know, I heard this verse quoted 100 times, John 15:12. This is my commandment, and this is where the verse ends for people who quote it most of the time, that you love one another. But that's not what the verse says. The verse says that you love one another as I have loved you. How did he love them? He loved them with the love of God. He defined what the love of God was. It says, as a father has loved me, verse 9, so I have loved you, continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. So what he's saying is that if you're going to love with the love of God and it's going to be the love of God, then you have to continue in the commandments to abide in his love. That's what you have to do. You can't say one thing and do another. Now, it sounds gracious, kind, and benevolent to collect money for AIDS. Okay? But the truth of the matter is in that particular category of life, I'm not putting AIDS in, here's AIDS, but there is a category of AIDS, okay? Not all of AIDS, but there is a category of AIDS that is manifested in the homosexual realm. Now, homosexual, evil sexual activity in the homosexual people, whether they're male or female, males with males, females with females, produce sin. Sin produces sickness. The end of sin is what? Death, sickness. Before a person dies, they usually get what? Sick, right? I mean, sometimes it's automatic. So this is what happens. They got sin in their life. The sin brings sickness. The sickness brings death. All right? Now, I'm speaking of that particular segment now. I'm not talking about the people who get it from a bad needle or a baby. I'm talking about that particular out and out, thumb in their nose at God. I don't care what the Bible says. We want to be homosexuals. Now, for a preacher to collect money and show pictures of babies dying and play on the little heartstrings of all you wonderful emotional cripples out there, so you just reach in your pocket and give all your money, to do that, that's not God's love. You know what that is? That's the devil reaching into your pocket, taking the money that belongs to you, your children, your dinner, to God, wherever you determine to put it, and stealing it from you. That's what it is. Do I feel bad that those people are dying? Yes, I do. But what is the reason why those people are dying? Those people are dying because they are engaging in sin. They are out and out disrespecting God, disrespecting God's word, and they choose to live a life of sin. And then they want the Christians to reach out and say, you're supposed to be loving, you're supposed to be compassionate, you're supposed to help. And then when a Christian says, I don't think so, they immediately deem that Christian as a hater or as an anti-something or other, okay? And for most people won't say a word. Most people will just reach in their pocket and give a $5 bill. Most people won't say anything to the guy where there's 100 people in line, and you see the guy walk up, passes 30 people and gets in line, starts talking to him and butts in line. Most people won't say that. Most people won't say a word. They'll just look, and especially if the guy's big, they won't say a word. They'll just shut their mouth and let the guy butt in line. That's the way most people are. But once in a while, you come across a person that will say, you get your butt back to the end of the line. And more so than not, that's a woman. Right? And then the guys are going like this. Because who's the guy going to beat up, the woman or her husband? You got me in trouble again. You can't allow the devil to intimidate you. You can't allow the devil to make you feel like a piece of crap. You can't allow the devil to define the terms and conditions of how you're supposed to feel. That doesn't mean that you're mean or you're angry or you're vicious, because here's the other end of the equation. If you're mean and you're angry and you're vicious, how are you ever going to help anybody? It's the sick who need the physician. You're the one who has to reach out. But you reach out with the purity of the word, because it's the purity of the word that will bring those people up and out of the slop that they're in. You don't reach out and say, well, let me help, and then start to accept, start to ignore, start to compromise your life to help them. Because the truth of the matter is this: if you're going to help, give them the purity of the word. If they don't want the word, okay, and you're still there, why are you helping? What are you trying to do? What are you presenting to them? You presented them God. They rejected God's word. So if they reject God's word, why are you there? If you go to them and you present the truth of the word and they say, oh, no, why are you there? There's only one thing that can happen, being there. That means you're just going to compromise. This is my commandment, verse 12, that you love one another as I have loved you. Yes, should we love one another? Yes. But how should we love one another? According as Jesus has loved. And Jesus said, if you want to love and you want to abide in my love, then you got to keep my commandments. If you want to do it God's way. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. The English Standard Version does a real nice job with this verse. And this is how it reads. 1 John 5, 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. God defines what his love is. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. The word of God says, I would that you all spake with tongues. Okay? So for me to teach that when you speak in tongues, it's of the devil, and for me to tell you how much of a loving person I am, I can say that, but according to the scripture, it don't line up, because I'm not keeping his commandment. For me to teach you it's okay for a woman to marry a woman and for a man to marry a man because I'm loving and I'm extending God's love and compassion to them, I could say that, but the word of God declares of me that I am a liar and the truth is not in me, because I am not keeping his commandments. His commandments was Adam and Eve, one flesh. For this reason shall a man leave his daddy and mommy and they become one flesh. Right? But it's real slippery. It's real, I want to play on your heart. I want to play on your emotions. And you know what it is? It's always grabbing at the integrity of the word. Just let it go. Just don't say nothing. It'll be all right. Let's not make a scene. It's just grabbing at the integrity of the word, integrity of the word, integrity of the word, integrity of the word. You would protect your wife. Someone smacked at her, called her a name. Why don't we do that with God? Why don't we love God that much? When they say God is a liar, this isn't what God meant. This is what God means. It's okay to do that. And you know what? Leave the homosexuals out of it. Let's start with praying to the dead. Or as soon as you die, you go to heaven. Or how many more great doctrines of Christianity do you want to pick? It's just that you got all these lies, well-meaning people. I got no problem with that. Sincere people. But it's not true. Paul was well-meaning. Paul was sincere. Paul was loving. His heart went out to the people, where? Jerusalem. But was he right? No. He was wrong. And because he did what he did, because he didn't listen to the word of God that came to him by at least a half a dozen sources, because he's, you know, so hard-headed, what happened? Almost lost his life. And he wasn't where God wanted him to be. 2 John chapter 1. First John said, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Second John 1 says, verse 6, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. There it is again. That you have heard from the beginning, you should what? Walk in them. You should do the word. That's what he's saying. This is what love is. You know what love is? Love isn't what you, all that ooey gooey, feel good stuff. This is what love is, that you should do the word. Now, if a man say, I love God and keep not his commandments, the word God says that man's a liar and the truth isn't in him. What love is doing the word. Did I say being perfect? No. Are you going to make mistakes? Yeah, but what did we read? Don't worry about it. We got someone who's going to take care of that too. Confess it and get back on the ball. Love is doing the word. See, because if God doesn't define what it is in his word, then anybody can say anything about love. And they'll use the pictures, and they'll use it's not fair, and they'll use why can't they do that? They're two consenting adults, and they'll use I just heard from my aunt so-and-so last night in heaven. They'll use all this stuff. That's not very loving. Let them have their dreams. Let them console themselves in a lie. 1 John chapter 3. Look at verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue. Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but let us love in deed and in what? Truth. In other words, our deeds, our words, our tongues have to be based on the what? Truth. See, because there's a lot of people who love in word. There's a lot of people who love in tongue. There's a lot of people who even love in deeds. But God exhorts us to be the best. We should love in deed and in truth. So when you're helping someone who needs help, you reach out, you love them, but you want to know something? Give them the truth. Because Ephesians exhorts us to speak the what? Truth in love. Truth in love. Look, you got a lesbian girlfriend that calls you up crying on the phone. She's going to kill herself. You go meet with her. You love her. You take care of her. You bless her. You calm her down. You minister to her heart. And then, you know what? Give her the truth. Because if you just provide for her an ear to cry on, and a beer to drink one with so they can just be a sounding board, and you don't give her the truth, have you really helped her? Because she's just going to go right back into the same mess. If you really love her and you really want to help her, you say, you know why your life is like this? I love you, but your life is like this because your steps are not ordered in God's word. And as long as you continue to live in this lifestyle, you're going to bring problems upon yourself. And you know what she might say? What do you mean? Nobody ever told me that. My minister said it's okay for me to be like this. As a matter of fact, he was the one who said he would marry us. And then you got all this confusion going on in the church and with people. But maybe they may want to hear. Do you know why you're having this kind of reoccurring depression and problem? Because you have a spirit of depression. That's giving them the truth. That's not just you wipe their tears, give them a glass of water, buy them a coffee, let them talk what they have to say. Then when they get it done, you calm them down, then you look at them and you give them the truth. If you love someone, you give them the truth. Then right away you'll see if they want help. Because there is a whole large group of people in life, believe it or not, that are in churches and in help self-help groups and all these other things, that they don't want help. You know what they want? They want someone to listen to them. They want companionship. They want pity. They want to testify for the devil over and over and over again. But if you want to cut through that junk real quick, give them the word and then challenge them to do the word. And if they don't do the word, guess what? I get people call me, I need this right away. You just don't know. There's a shadow on the wall and it's making noises and it's doing this and I need you to minister to me right away tonight. And I rarely ever minister to those people. Very rarely. You need to do this, study the words, come to fellowship or go to a church, do such and such, and I never hear from them again. Never fails. Never hear from them again. Because they have to do something for themselves. Because they have to open the book. Because they have to stop smoking pot. Because they have to stop drinking. Because they have to stop cheating on their wives or their husbands. You know? And then we blame the poor medical society, the whole medical field, the doctors. We want to be homosexuals. We want to live in this sin, and we're laying this responsibility on your shoulders, this great weight, to make us search and develop a pill that will cure AIDS so we can live in sin. We ain't changing. We want you to make us something so we can continue to live this way. That's what they want. And that's what people want. Oh, do you actually think I'm here sharing at this convention because I want to change? Or you think I'm attending this convention? Because I just here because they had good food and other people the same problems. We could just fellowship along the problems. You actually want me to forgive him? You actually want me to stop hating? You actually want me to stop smoking drugs because it cuts the edge off of it? I can't do that. They want to continue in their sinful lifestyle. They want you to rubber stamp it. As long as you rubber stamp it, God, they're happy. There's actually a whole segment of society out there that doesn't want to change. They want you to rubber stamp it. And it's in the church. It's in the church. I'm going to be a homo. I don't care what you do. Get this done. So they take it up the board. The church splits. And you got half of the Presbyterian church over here with homosexual ministers, and you got the other half over here with not, or Episcopals, or whatever it is. We don't want to line up with what God says. We know better than what God knows. We want to do it this way. We want it rubber stamped by the church, though, because, you know, we got to have the church get it done. How much money is it going to take? We got lots of money because we got a lot of jerks out there that give us money to our little AIDS ads. We'll just draw from this pot. How much is it going to take? Who do we have to remove? Who do we have to slander? Who do we have to get to start a chattering campaign in a congregation that he's too rough? That's not really love. That's mean. That's abrasive. How can that be love? What did I say? 1 John 3:18 we were, right? Is that the last one we were at?
Yeah.
1 John 5. Look at verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him. 1 John 5:14. That if we ask anything, he hears us.
Nope.
Sorry. Okay. And that if we ask anything according to our will, he hears us. Prayer is not man getting his will done in heaven. Prayer is getting God's will done here on earth. Okay, but men don't understand that. And I'll guarantee you that a whole league of clergymen were praying that it would pass in their church to ordain homosexual ministers. I'll guarantee you. Prayer vigils. Get the church together. Let me throw up somewhere. Give me a can. But no, you know, they look good and they're pressed and they speak well, but they're full of sin and they're devilish. And they are so far from God, God could stand there with a flare and an arrow pointing God and they wouldn't know him. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him because we're asking according to what? His will. His will. God's love is a holy love. It's a holy love. It's not shallow sentiment. It's not emotional. It's not how you feel. It's not getting along with everybody just to keep peace. That's not what God's love was. Could you see with Jesus Christ getting along with everybody just to keep peace? Could you see him just getting along with the Pharisees and the Sadducees? In order to do that, he would have to what? Compromise. Did he stay in those polluted, deceptive systems and teach there? Or did he draw the people out unto himself where he could teach the truth, where he wouldn't have people mocking him, where he had the freedom to speak the truth in love? That's what he did. He didn't go into that church and try to change that church. You know why he couldn't do that? Because that church wasn't going to change. Because you know what the church did? It killed him. That's what that church did. And if they could do it today legally, they do it today. They do it today. Look at Psalm 97. Two more verses. So, you know, if you're judgmental, you're a sinner. Don't be judgmental. Make righteous judgments. Speak the truth, this sort of thing. Don't look at people. Don't judge them. Don't be mean to people. That's not what this is about. This is about if you're going to say you love people, then love them with the most purest, holy, changing, satisfied love that you can love them with. Love them with the love of God. Love them with the love of God. And the love of God is what? That we keep his commandments. You know, I've said this many times. I'll say it again. I try to do my best with my children. I will not feel this bad if any one of my three children come to me tomorrow or today and say, you know what, this God stuff, I don't want no parts of it. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do the other thing. My remark to them will be, I love you. I think you're a jerk. When you get your head out of your butt, I'll be here for you. And if I can do anything for you that's not going to compromise me, I will. But I will not feel this bad. You know why? Because I have given them the truth. Over and over and over again, since they were in diapers, I've given them the truth. I am not responsible to live my children's lives. I don't want to run them. I don't want to rule them. I don't want to run your life, and I don't want to rule your life. I got enough problem doing my own. If one of you turned around tomorrow and wanted to marry a woman and you're a woman, you know what? I wouldn't feel this bad because this is how I would feel. You didn't disrespect me. You got a bigger problem than me. You out and out disrespected God. And if you got that much disdain and disrespect for God, who the hell am I that you're going to listen to me? So I don't take it personal. If I teach you that you got to forgive, and you should do such and such, and you want to walk around in bitterness and hatred when the trumpet's called and I'm before the Lord, he's not going to say to me, why did you not confront these people and why did you not tell them that it was a sin to hate? I did, Jesus. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. See ya. Then you're going to be before the Lord. You understand? And it's not a threat. It's not a threat. Is it a threat where God says, beware of your adversary, the devil who walketh around like a roaring lion seeking to rip your guts out? Is that a threat? It's not a threat. Is it a threat where you write, beware of dog? Is it a threat where it says electric fence, death will incur if you touch it? Is that a threat? That's not a threat. Don't let the devil whisper that in your ear. That's the reality of the harsh truth and fact of the matter. Where it says, clift. That's not a threat. The whole world is full of warning signs, right? The Word of God is not just doctrine. The other two-thirds of it is reproof and correction. If there was no room or reason for reproof and correction, the book be a lot thinner. Because we all do it right, perfect, right? But we have to take it all as one package. Psalm 97:10. First part of the verse. You that love the Lord also have to learn how to what? Do you? Okay, if you're going to say you love God and you're going to keep His commandments, do you hate evil or do you fellowship with it? Or do you watch it on TV? Or do you look at it at nighttime when nobody's looking in your magazines? Or do you smoke it when you're driving around thinking nobody's watching you? Or do you think it when you're not doing anything else and it's just running through your heart? See? You love God? Come on now. Wake up. Who's fooling who? Let's get on the Word. Let's be our best for God. Let's confront ourselves. Let's get straight in these areas that we need to get straight. If you love God, you better learn to hate evil. Get rid of it in your life. Be like Job. Let it be distasteful to you. Don't entertain it. Don't fellowship with it. Don't incubate it. To love God is to love what He loves and to hate what He hates. You know, we please God by doing the things that He commands, not the things that we think we should do. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3 says in the Bible in basic English, it says, if anyone has love for God, God has knowledge of that individual. Okay? So here's what it is. You can walk around, you can say, I love God, I love God, I love God. The Bible says that if anybody loves God and is doing the Word and keeping His commands, God knows who those people are. He doesn't know about those people that say they love Him and don't do the Word. He knows about the ones that say they love Him and do the Word. God has knowledge of that individual. Want to hear a verse? Listen to this. Haven't we prophesied in your name? Haven't we done miracles in your name? Haven't we done this? I never knew you. Had no knowledge of you. Why is that? Because people aren't doing things according to the Word. Oh, they were doing this and they were doing that and they were helping, but they weren't doing it according to the Word. And Jesus turned around and says, I don't know you. Who are you? Dad, you know him? Who's he, son? Let's close in James. Listen, when we're gathered together, we heard about the gathering this morning. We heard about keeping our eyes on the blessed hope. It's a lively hope in prayer. We were exhorted about that. When we're gathered together and we are rewarded for the things that we do here on this earth, according to the standards of the Word, we'll be rewarded. You're not rewarded for being everybody's friend. There is no crown for that. Okay? You're not rewarded for giving to every good cause. You are not rewarded for compromising the Word just so you can help someone. You are not rewarded for any of these things. You are rewarded for standing steadfast on the Word and loving God by keeping His commandments. That's what you're rewarded for. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he hath been approved, this is the American Standard Version, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord, promised to them that what? Love him. You are rewarded for standing steadfast on the word, doing it the word's way, because then and only then can you say that you love God. Now, your intentions may be well, and where you are, God will meet you. Okay? But for those of us who have been exposed to the knowledge of God's word, and you're aware of the knowledge of God's word, then God holds you to that standard. To the guy in New Guinea who only knows John 3:16, he will earn every reward that you will earn because that's all he knows. So don't try to compare yourself to him. Don't try to compare yourself to me. Compare yourself to you and what you know according to the word. If you know what to do according to the word and you don't do it, then to you that's sin. If that guy over there is doing it and he has no knowledge of it, you don't worry about that guy. You don't worry about that church. You don't worry about they teach the Trinity. You don't worry they teach the dead or alive. You don't worry about any of those things they do. If the leadership knows about it, then it's sin to them. But those poor people, if that's all that they have, that's all that they have. You don't judge those people. But you don't withhold for those people either. Because if you have the truth and it's available to give them the truth, don't do that. You walk according to the standard that God has called you, and you're responsible. And see, that's the reason why a lot of times people don't want to hear the truth. People want to hear stories. They want to hear one or two verses. And they want the church to rubber stamp what they do as long as they put money in the stupid horn. See, when you hear the truth, then you have a responsibility before God to be accountable. And God has just presented you with an accountability. Okay? That's a burden of a minister. When you read about the burden of the Lord delivered to Isaiah, the burden of the Lord came to Ezekiel, that's one of the burdens of a minister. To deliver that to people, it's a burden because people don't like to hear it sometimes. But once it's delivered, the watchman's hands are free, and the burden now rests on your shoulders. What are you going to do about it? You know, don't go picking fights. Don't go looking for evil. That's not it. You love people. You share. But don't let people talk you out of the word. Because, you know, I told you, you let them talk you out of here, it's only a matter of time. You give the adversary a toehold. He'll have a foot, he'll have your leg, and he'll have your whole life. You have to stand on the word, and that's why we need one another to draw us back to the word, to encourage us back to the word, say, you know what, I've been getting out in this area of life. I need to come back to the word, come back to the word, to the word, to the word, and nothing but the word. For it's the word that gives us life. It's the word that defines the love of God, and it's the word that will bring the deliverance that we need. So don't be a bunch of grumpy, mean, judgmental, pharisaical people. But know the truth, and when you speak the truth in love, okay? And it's in doing that that you'll genuinely help people. Father, thanks for your word. Thanks that we can speak your truth in love. And thank you, Father, that if we've been lacking in this area, that we can first check our own lives out, correct what's wrong there, and that we can reach out to others, as we saw last night, Father. We thank you for how you watch out for us and how Jesus Christ was a sterling example of your love in action. And then may we walk in his steps, Father. And then we're on good footing. And we thank you for this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Amen.